things as we start here. One is Mark Waldemeyer's back. Brother Mark's been sick, but probably still not 100%, but good to have him in service tonight. My neighbor asked about you today. Brother Rick Paul asked about you today. Brother Skip's back, and you need to pray for Brother Skip's back. I mean, he's back, but his back's not back altogether, right? And so pray for Brother Skip. He's been through a lot of pain over the last week or so, and but it's good to have him in service tonight. Jackie Ream, I got an update from Jim this afternoon that Jackie, you know, she had her lung removed, cancer issue. They found a broken rib as a result of the procedure. But other than that, her breathing is good. And now she has a checkup coming up in a few months to check again for the cancer. But they're really praising the Lord that things have turned out the way that they have thus far. And so we praise the Lord for that. I will take two or three urgent requests tonight. If you have an urgent request before we go to prayer, of course, remember my father's family because of his sister-in-law passing away. There's a funeral next Saturday morning, and so pray that the gospel is going to be given. In fact, Dad had the opportunity to lead his brother to a Baptist pastor that he knew in the area that's going to preach it, to ensure that the gospel is going to be preached. And so we're excited about that. And then my wife's uncle, who was a missionary in Turkey, worked with Campus Crusade for many years, passed away yesterday. And so we've had a couple deaths in the extended family. And if you'll pray for the, her name is Joy, his wife, for comfort. I know that the family would appreciate that. That funeral's into next week, next Monday, I believe. So just a couple of things to pray for there. Anybody else with a couple, any urgent requests that we normally were praying together tonight, but in revival services, we want to streamline to get to the preaching, Brother Garland? Okay, one urgent unspoken from Brother Garland. Anybody else with an urgent request tonight before we stand and pray together? Brother Bob? Yep. Okay, good. Good, good, amen. Anybody else tonight? Sherry in the back. Okay. Amen, amen. How old is he, Sherry? Dakota Dixon with a bad tumor, all right? We'll remember him tonight. I was able to visit Dolores with Russell today, and I didn't tell Russell this, but I thought it was my best visit. I thought she was in the best spirits and condition that I've seen her in a long time, and it was very, very precious to be with Dolores today, and we thank the Lord for his sustaining of her there and the strength that God's given Russell to see her every day. And I know your prayer support means a lot to Russell and Dolores. It was very, very precious. Many, many smiles from her today. It just brought joy to my heart to see that. So stand with me tonight. And let's open our service in prayer tonight. And Brother Gary Urey, would you pray and remember whatever you can remember in the form of request tonight that we pray? Amen. Just before we sing tonight, we have a couple guests, and I would like Martha Vajaleski to introduce them. Right? Which one's Mackenzie? And Bree, is that right? Good to have both of you here tonight. And Mackenzie's father is a pastor out in Iowa. And actually, I believe that church supports my parents. And he's been out there and preached, and so a little connection there tonight. Good to have you folks here. Maybe here for a little bit of the Hump Valley services, because Hump Valley's celebrating 20 years this week, and we're excited for them. Take your songbooks this evening, and let's sing together. God bless you.
343 in your songbooks. We'll sing all three verses. Springs of Living Water, 343. Together on the first.
I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, the springs of living water did abound. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul be satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water.
Ask the ushers if they can make their way down. We're going to take up the offering this evening for Dr. Starr, and I appreciate him giving us his week here. To make their way down, Mr. Tom Albright, if you wouldn't mind praying over the offering as you make your way up. Men, you may be seated. go ahead and take your songbooks. Stand with me again. We'll go to 344, one page over from where we just were. We'll sing the first and the last verses of Satisfied. All my life long I had panted for a draught from some cool spring. 344. Turn over to 611. Take my life and let it be. We'll sing the first, second, and last verses of 611. Together on the first.
Take my
just our voices on the last.
Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee.
You may be seated.
Grateful.
give you just a few things before Dad comes and preaches tonight. One is, if you're going to the workday on Saturday, because the camp is preparing the meal, the lunch meal, we do need you to let Pastor Todd know, or at least sign up tonight in the back. It's our last time to get together before that workday. If you need more information on it, I know it's a busy week. If you can't make it, we understand that. But if you're going, we really, really do need you to sign up tonight so that we don't commit an indiscretion with the people that we're going over to serve, and they're serving us the lunch. And so be aware of that. Second thing is, Mom and Dad will be leaving next week, or maybe this weekend, I guess, and they'll be out on the road for a month. And so this is their last service with us before they head out to the Midwest, have a number of meetings out there. And so please do remember them in your prayers and their traveling. Obviously, we don't take traveling mercies for granted, do we? And so we do ask you to do that. I've been making some recommendations on the book table, make a few more tonight. This is a theme of prayer for us this year. And one of the books that I have been in this year is The Prayers of Christ, which is a book that Dad put together a number of years ago, and I read it once. I'm rereading it. And if you're looking for something to feed your soul on the prayer of Christ, following Christ's example in prayer, some excellent nuggets in that. Jerry Ross has written two books that are really, really helpful. We've had in our library for years, or in our bookstores or at camp. One is The 21 Tenets of Biblical Femininity. The other one is 21 Tenets of Biblical Masculinity. If you're a father, let me encourage you to get a copy of these books and work through them in family devotions with your young people. And don't wait too late to do that. You didn't used to have to emphasize these things, but in a culture that is downplaying our roles and confusing them, our children need reinforced on those things. Tremendous, tremendous truths in those books. Bill Hardiker, he has a book that maybe you've not read called Living for and Rejoicing in Christ. It's a self-study guide out of the book of Philippians, and that's back there. And then Mom's book on dress, A Reflection of the Heart, dealing with ladies' dress. I personally have three or four categories that I read a book on every year. One of them is preaching. One of them is marriage, one of them is family, and one of them is repentance. I need reading on those areas. Ladies, on this area, there's such an attack on modest dress and identification that it would be good for you to get your hands on one of these books and read one every year. There's a number of good books on this topic, but Mom's book is not only a book, but I know Mom for more than 46 years, as I told you the other night. Somebody said, Pastor, he told us that he knew you for 49 and you only know him for 46. I said, well, I was trying to convince myself that I'm still 46, and I'm not. And so I cannot recall in my lifetime where my mother was dressed immodestly, ever. That is a testimony. And I thank the Lord that it's not only in writing, but it is a life. And we still believe those things. We still teach those principles here. All of our new-to-the-church people get those teachings, those principles, what we believe the Bible says with application on that. And this book, ladies, will be a help to you on those fronts. And so I just want to encourage you to visit the table. And we thank the Lord for a great week. There's been some great things that God has done. We're rejoicing in those things. And we have one more night tonight. Now, I've prayed this prayer today in our staff prayer meeting. I believe God led me to pray this prayer. I said, Lord, if you look down from heaven and you look at our church tonight, I want you to be able to look and say, I accomplished everything that I wanted to in people's hearts during this week of services. And Lord, if you don't get that pleasure, Lord, I would grieve as you would grieve. Would you tonight walk away from these meetings saying, Lord, I want you to accomplish everything you want to accomplish in my life? And you know what? If God could have that testimony in heaven, you know what we've had as a week of a church? We have had a week where God is glorified. And that is the goal of the week. Dad, you come and preach.
In your Bibles tonight, 1 Samuel chapter 10. I thought he's going to take some more preaching time there again. I feel sorry for a pastor because when it's preaching time, he wants to preach. Shirley and I want to thank you for your faithful support. We could never do our ministry without that, and we're so grateful. Your financial support, your prayer support, your encouragement, emotional support, your interest when we come home and what has happened, and just watching our home, sending our mail, somebody does that, and somebody offered to come out and pick us up if we had a breakdown. We had other men that take us to the airport when we fly, and so we know that you have our back, and we sense that, and it means so much to us in our ministry. We want to thank all of you for your involvement in praying and giving for our ministry. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 10. It's been a pleasure to preach to you this week. How many of you have not missed a service this week? Not missed one. Boy, that's marvelous. God, how many of you only missed one? You were here all but one. That's wonderful. Glory. All right. Well, this is hopefully the one that we need tonight, this message. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 20. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matre was taken. And Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. God has a perfect plan for every person in this building. You've got to believe that. God created us, and God's got a plan of how he wants to take the talents and the gifts that he's endowed us with and use them for his glory. And so he has a place where he wants you to serve. He has an assignment for you to do. He saved your soul to serve, not to sit, but to serve. And so in the New Testament, we serve through the local church. We don't divorce ourselves from the church. We are in the church, amen, and we serve through the church. So what could you do in the local church? What is God's will for you in this church? Tonight we look at the life of Saul as I preach on this topic, hiding from the will of God in the stuff. Hiding from the will of God in the stuff. Let's begin with prayer and we'll get right into it. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, now I thank you that you are on the throne and you see every person here and you see every person's heart and where they are spiritually. And Lord, I pray that you will take this simple message, but Lord, you will drive it into our soul that we will want to do the will of God and want to do it badly. Stir our hearts, Lord, that many will surrender to do your will in this service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. First, we see that Saul had a good start. Maybe God has blessed you with a good start in your life. He was an obedient son in a good home. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, go back to 9 and verse 2. And he, talking about Kish, had a son whose name was Saul. And now listen to the description of Saul. A choice young man and goodly. That's positive. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. And so goodly means handsome. It means joyful, kind, pleasant, people enjoyed being around Saul. He had that kind of a personality, and everybody looked up to Saul. Everybody in the nation looked up to Saul, right? One day, his father lost his donkeys, and he sent Saul out to find the donkeys. And so his dad trusted him, Saul, with responsibility. But Saul looked here, and he looked there, and he traveled and everywhere without success. And Saul was concerned that his father would worry about them, so he told his servants, let's turn around and head toward home. Saul had a lot of good traits, and one of them was his concern for his father's feelings. Amen. I hope that every young person here has that concern. Every young person ought to care what your mother and dad thinks. Every person, young person. Not only that, but Saul respected the man of God. In verse chapter 9 and verse 7, they were headed back home. They passed by the prophet Samuel's house, but he wouldn't go to talk to Samuel without a gift. Look at it in verse 7. Then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? Talking about Samuel. For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there's not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? In verse number 8, Saul's servant said that we have some silver. And so Saul said, great, great, let's go meet the man of God. That's what they did in those days. Brethren, we should not worship any man, including the preacher. That's not what we're about. But there ought to be a respect for God's man. And so people who God can use are those who respect God's man. We're going to find out that God really wanted to use Saul, but long before that, he had a respect for God's man. So first, Saul had a good start. Number two, Samuel meets Saul. Number two, Samuel meets Saul. In chapter 9 and verse 17, Saul saw the prophet Samuel. They finally meet in chapter 9 and verse 19. And Samuel told Saul his father had found his donkeys. However, more important than searching for donkeys, all of Israel was searching for a king. And so Samuel said, Saul, you are it. You're the king that Israel's been looking for, that God has wants to anoint to be the king. And Saul, with humility, balks in verse 21. He says, and Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjaminite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my father the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? And so God gives his man Samuel insight as to who could lead Israel. It's Saul. If your preacher approaches you about serving the Lord in the church in some way, I wonder, are you willing to do it? Or do you, Saul did, make excuses why? Well, I couldn't do that. Well, I can't do that. Well, I don't have time to do that. Oh, my. If the preacher sees that we can be used in a way, amen, we ought to really pray seriously about doing that. None of us feel worthy to be used of God. None of us. I know I didn't and don't. Moses didn't feel worthy. Gideon didn't feel worthy. Jeremiah didn't feel worthy. And Saul here didn't feel worthy, and others. The truth is, we're not worthy. And yet Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to go over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to see this. First Corinthians 1 and verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Skip down to verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. In other words, if God could use me, if God could use you, everyone would know it had to be God. It wasn't us, because God gets all the glory. God chose Mary, a poor, humble lady, to bear Christ. God chose a shepherd boy, David, to be Israel's second king. God chose to save Jacob and his family from the famine through his son, lost son, Joseph, emerging from a prison in Egypt. God does the miraculous to accomplish his will. God could use me. God could use you. God wants to use us. What matters is his will. What does God want? We do a lot of time thinking about what we want. We ought to be thinking about what God wants. And he has a will for every one of us. What is his will for your life? Do you have a clue? Do you have an inkling? How is God leading you? So God's will for Saul was to become king and rule God's people, Israel. Samuel told Saul that his father had found his donkeys. And then Samuel puts the feed on. Oh, I like this part of the story. Amen. In chapter 9 and verse 22 to 24, Samuel, in anticipation of Saul being king, seated him and his servants in the honorable places among his other 30 invited guests. So it was an eventful day. It was exciting, and Samuel was making an impression on Saul. You're going to be king. Then Samuel showed Saul the word of God. In verse 27, follow along. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Bid the servant pass on before us." He wanted to talk to Saul by himself. And he passed on. "But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God." God's word is synonymous with his will. Amen. And Samuel showed Saul the word of God, and that's what God's man does. He shows others God's word and reveals God's will. Saul's head at this point had to be swimming. I mean, just think about it. The prophet had been so good to him, and they developed a relationship, but Saul wasn't sure what to do next. To be king, you know, I'm a farm boy. I don't know anything about being a king. And I'm sure that he was a little perplexed. Thirdly in the story, Samuel anoints Saul and gives him signs. We're just following the story through now, and we'll get to the punchline in just a little bit. Samuel pours the anointing oil upon Saul's head. In chapter 10 and verse 1, "And Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" Now, at this point, is Saul king yet? No, he's not. When Samuel anoints Saul with king with oil, he's still not the king. Rather, this is an announcement of who the king will be. It's announcing to just those that were there, kind of a private party, who was going to be the king. It's kind of like an ordination service for someone going into the ministry. Is he a pastor or a missionary yet? No, not at that point. It's a service announcing his intent. Well, Samuel was revealing God's will and announcing God's intent for Saul to become the first king of Israel. This was God's intent. But Samuel's not done. Samuel tells Saul to watch for signs of confirmation. Samuel says, "Now, you're going to meet two men who will tell you that the donkeys are found," verse number 2. "And then you'll meet three men who will tell you give you two loaves of bread, verse number 3. And then you're going to meet a group of prophets in verse 4 and 5. And not just that you'll meet them, but you will be caught up in their prophecy and you will prophesy and be turned into another man. Wow. Samuel said that these signs would assure him that God is with him, that this is God's will, and he can do it. And so, you know, you and I don't need signs today. We have the Word of God right here for us every day. However, we still wonder if we can do what God's calling us to do. We're human, we're flesh. And we wonder, can I really do what it seems like God wants me to do? 1997, we were praying about bringing a third man on staff, but I was concerned about the finances. And so I prayed, Lord, make it clear to me as to how to lead the church in this matter. But for the next 3 weeks, we took in several thousand dollars more than the weekly budget as an indication from God that we could easily do this. God was confirming his will, and we brought on that third staff member. In that was Pastor Chris, too. In 2012, I was in a motel room in Ohio. We were headed home from a funeral, and I was contemplating resigning the church here after 23 years as pastor and launching out into the uncertain path of evangelism. Not uncertain to God, but certainly uncertain to me. And I asked God that night for his assurance that we could make it on the offerings from church to church and traveling. And when we arrived home the next day, there was a check in my mailbox, curiously, from a fringe family of the church, not members, saying that God had laid on their heart to give us $1,000. Up to that point, I'd never had anybody give me $500 other than the church, but not from an individual. And I thank God for his confirmations. God gave Saul clear confirmations of what Saul had told him. God still does that kind of thing today. He still confirms what he wants. Now, not only did God give Saul external confirmations, but God put another heart in Saul, and he prophesied in verses 9 and 10, chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. I want you to see it. And it was so that when he turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. Well, he wouldn't have thought about that an hour earlier, but God gave him another heart inside to be able to do that. When God called me to pastor in 1975, he gave me a pastor's heart that I didn't have before. But he gave me that kind of a heart. And then when he called me to be an evangelist in 2012, he added an evangelist heart to travel and strengthen God's people and to evangelize. That's what God does. You say, well, I don't think that I could ever do what he's asking me to do. Listen, God does it. God gives you the heart to do it. I don't think I could ever teach that Sunday school class. I'm not the teacher type. Listen, God will do it, and God will help you to do it. And so Saul had plenty of indication of God's will for him, including a new heart. And as you sit here tonight, you likely have indications and inklings of what God wants you to do as well. And he'll confirm what he wants you to do. Finally tonight, Samuel presents Saul to the people. Now they've met, they've had a meal together, he's anointed Saul to be king, told him about being king, he's given him signs, and God has put another heart in him to confirm it, all of that. And now Samuel presents Saul to the people. The day had finally come, This was the biggest day in Saul's life. All of Israel was gathered to Mizpah to crown Saul as the first king of Israel. And so this was the will of God for Saul's life. And so Samuel gives the introduction on the coronation day. In 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 17, and Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah. And Samuel starts rebuking them for wanting a king and rejecting God's rule over them. He had warned them before, but they had run roughshod over his counsel, and he reminds them of it here. But then he organizes that vast crowd by tribes and families to announce the king will come from the tribe of Benjamin, from the family of Matri, the household of Kish. And he announces, and here's your new king, Saul. But there was a problem. Verse 21. And when he caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, and the family of Matri was taken, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken, and when they sought him, he could not be found. There's no Saul. Saul is AWOL. No one can find Saul. Everybody's looking around. Where'd he go? He's the tallest man in the whole country, and nobody can find him. After all the signs that God gave him, and after Samuel had already anointed him and spent time with him, this was the biggest day of his life, and they can't find him. This was the day that they finally placed the crown on his head and the scepter in his hand and install him on the throne of God's nation, Israel. It was a great day for him and for all of Israel. Thousands were gathered that day for this gala event, and this was God's will for Saul. Listen, God has a plan for every person in this building. Every senior, every single, every teen, every child, every adult man and woman, he's left no one out. God wants you to find his will and do it. Every one of us, not just the preachers, no, it's everybody God has a will for. Now, Samuel announces the king, and there's silence. Crickets. No one comes forth. Saul's not there. Here's Saul, your king. Everybody's looking around. Nobody moves. Here's a man chosen to lead God's people, and he's not there. The crowd starts mumbling, I can imagine. What's going on? What's happened? What happened to Saul, the king? And no one can find Saul. Well, what should we do when unexpected events occur like this? We should take it to God. That's exactly what they did. Look at verse 22. They prayed. When we pray, God reveals the solution to our problem, and we ought to be reminded of that. Verse 22, therefore they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. Saul had left the gathering and hid himself in the stuff. The word stuff was meant the baggage or the luggage from the thousands who had traveled from afar for the coronation. The word stuff literally means sacks or bags. And Saul, you can imagine the mound of bags that were there from all these people. And Saul hid himself from Samuel and the people. That had to be quite a mound of bags. He's a tall person. Even if he laid down, his feet would stick out, surely, unless there were a lot of bags. And so, but did you notice? The people didn't know where he went, but God knew where he was. Get the picture here. The people are gathered from everywhere to see this momentous event of the crowning of the first king of Israel. And Saul runs and hides in the baggage. But wasn't this the will of God for his life? Yes. And God wanted to use Saul and reveal his will. But Saul didn't want to be king. He didn't want to do the will of God. He wanted to go home. He wanted to live in comfort around his family. He didn't want the hassle and the responsibility. You see, Saul had his own will for his life. And it was in conflict with God's will. This is the most dangerous thing for the child of God. Saul had his own will. Maybe that describes you. Maybe you're very willful. Maybe God has nudged you a time or two about what he wants you to be doing, but your will keeps getting in the way. Oh, he realized clearly what God's will was, but Saul didn't want to do God's will, so he ran from the coronation stand to hide in the stuff to avoid the will of God. And we run from the church, and we run from the preacher, and we make ourselves absent from the church house, from the word of God being preached, from the fellowship of believers, and we'd rather have our lounge chair. We'd rather have our work, anything to hide from what God wants us to do. You know, the hardest thing to do in life is the will of God. It's not all peaches and cream. You have to die to the flesh. You have to die to your will. You'll never have more trouble than when you surrender to do the will of God. We talked about it the other night. You'll never have more critics and enemies than when when you surrender to do the will of God. Satan will never attack you as hard as when you surrender to do the will of God. The will of God is not an oasis or a peaceful euphoria. Rather, the will of God is a task, a duty, a work, a responsibility. And the flesh tries to sidestep difficulty and conflict and work and blood and sweat and tears and heartaches and criticism. The flesh doesn't want anything to do with it. And yet, you'll never have the peace of God without doing the will of God. The will of God may mean poverty. It could mean living in a faraway land with ungrateful people. It may mean pastoring a little country church, trying to make the two ends meet. It may mean surrendering to do what your church needs you to do, even though you don't seem to have the time to do it, but you make time to do it. It may mean you setting aside your dreams and your hopes to do God's dreams for your life. But the only place to find peace is in the will of God. The songwriter said it. You've longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed, but you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the what? Altar is laid. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And we know those verses, just like Saul knew what God wanted him to do. There is a will of God for your life. God in heaven has charted a plan for my life and yours. But his will isn't always easy. And Saul didn't want the hard road. He wanted the easier road. He wanted the road of comfort. Saul wanted freedom, pleasure, fun, run around with the buds. He didn't want scrutiny and second guessing and decisions and attention and position and leadership. So he hid himself among the stuff, the baggage. Question, where are you hiding tonight from the will of God? He hid in the stuff from the will of God. We sing, only to be what He wants me to be every moment of every day. Yield it completely to Jesus alone, every step of the pilgrim way. I'll read the rest of it because it goes too high. Just to be clay in the potter's hands. Listen. Ready to do what his word commands. Only to be what he wants me to be every moment of every day. There might be more money someplace else. Yeah, there might be. But you won't be happy and fulfilled there if God wants you to do something else. There might be more prestige some other place, but you're not going to be happy and fulfilled and have peace of God with you unless you're doing what God wants you to do. God is calling someone to choose between God and mammon. So Saul is covered over with the stuff, and he's hiding in there, and he didn't want God's will for his life, and he's trying to stay quiet so no one can hear him. He had his own plans for his life that he planned to do, and so he didn't want to wear the crown. He didn't want the royal scepter. He didn't want the kingly throne. He didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. He didn't want to live where God wanted him to live. And God is asking someone here tonight, where are you? Where are you concerning the will of God? Who in this congregation is hiding from the will of God? You keep yourself busy. You keep yourself at arm's length from what God might speak to you about what he wants you to do. But down deep in your heart, you have sensed something. Don't run from that. Get out of the baggage tonight. Get back into the center of God's will. I told God I'd be a pastor, school principal, missionary if he wanted me to, anything but an evangelist. I'd do anything but be an evangelist. That's the last thing I wanted to do. I was 62 years old. God gave me a new assignment. Don't tell God what you don't want to do. I'd been an assistant pastor for 14 years, a college dean for 1 year, a pastor for 23 years, radio station manager, a Christian school principal and teacher. We had a beautiful home here, newly remodeled, with a huge library, with 18 4-foot-high windows overlooking the valley where I live. And God had given us a loving, ambitious, and soul-winning church and security here at the church. And for the most part, I was feel like I was loved. I hope so. I hope nobody comes up and says, you know, you said that, preacher, but I didn't love you. I hope that doesn't happen. And I still feel loved, so don't do that to me tonight. So I struggled with the decision to leave it all for an uncertain ministry on the road. I was hiding among the stuff for a while. But God made it clear. And I surrendered and sold our house and all that we had and gave ourselves completely to the will of God. By the way, my wife had to surrender too. She loved being a pastor's wife, but she said yes to God's will too. Today, we have a small but cozy condo. Nothing like the house that we had. Do I like leaving our condo and our cozy confines to go on the road? Do I like sleeping in a different bed every night on the road? Do I like traveling thousands of miles and behind the windshield and all of that for many travel days? Do I like being the object of Satan's attacks on my body and on my life? No, 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 and no. But I know that I'm in the will of God. And God has a will for my life, and I must fulfill it. And God has a will for your life, and you must fulfill it. And you're not going to have peace until you do. God gave Saul another heart and all that he needed to be king. And God has given me another heart for our itinerant ministry. And I wouldn't have chosen evangelism. It was my last choice, to tell you the truth. but this is God's will for me, you see. Today, over 10 years later, God has given me contentment and fulfillment in his will. Is it all easy? No, but I have peace that I'm in his will. I wake up every morning knowing I'm in the will of God. Well, that's worth something. Oh, my. What a great day it was when I came out of the stuff and said yes to his will. And it would be a great day, maybe a great night, if you left the stuff and yielded yourself to the will of God for your life. Young man, and I'm closing. Young man, God may want you to be a preacher. We have a lot of young men in this church. It could be that God wants you to be a preacher, maybe an older man, adult man, that God wants to be a preacher or a missionary, evangelist, or a Christian school teacher, or a helper to your pastor. Dear Christian, God may want you to get baptized. It could be that God wants you to be a Sunday school teacher, or go out on soul winning and learn how to do that, or be a church member. Some haven't done that yet. Bus worker, choir member, youth worker, a deacon, a sound man, working in the sound room to keep everything going and the messages going out over the web and on the DVDs and CDs. A decorator, a banquet coordinator, sending cards, working the nursery, ushering, be a secretary, a steward, work with the security group, special music, and on it goes. Quit hiding in the stuff. You can't do anything in the stuff. Step out, be a man or woman for God, and chart a course to do God's will. What a relief and a joy it is to know that you're doing what God made you to do. And so, Saul, come out of the stuff. God has a will for your life. Quit hiding in the baggage, your own ideas, and your own will. You have some unfinished business to take care of, Saul. And maybe you've been hiding with Saul from God's will in your life. There was a crown awaiting Saul. Think about this. The Bible says there's a crown awaiting you if you step out of the stuff and do the will of God. There's crowns in the New Testament that we've studied. Maybe you have some unfinished business with God. He has a plan for your life. Find his will and do it. The church needs you. Your pastor needs you. And God wants to use you. Quit hiding in the stuff tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I wonder if you can point back to a time when you knew that you were lost, headed to hell when you die. But by an act of your will, you received Christ as your Savior. If you have done that and received Christ as your Savior, joyfully raise your hand. I've done that, preacher. Wonderful. All over the building, hands up. Maybe you couldn't raise your hand. God's will tonight for you is to save your soul. He wants you to come to Him. Don't try to hide from Him. You've done enough of that. Give up the stuff and come to Christ tonight. In a few moments, I'll give you an opportunity to do exactly that before you leave this service. Christian, what is it that God wants you to do? You know, maybe it's as simple as speaking to that person that He laid on your heart last night. And God wants you to pray and get the right timing and the right wording and go talk to that person. Maybe it's to commit more time to the ministry that you already have and to do a better job with that, have a greater burden for that ministry. Maybe it's to volunteer to meet a need in the church that you know about. Maybe it's to surrender to preach the Word of God full-time or be in the full-time ministry and get serious about getting your training. Maybe that's it. Maybe God has spoken to you in one of the other messages to fall on Christ and be broken. And that's what He wants you to do tonight. Or to overcome the devil, because the devil keeps coming at us. Or to partner with Christ to win the lost. I don't know what it is, but I do know it's time to quit putting it off and make excuses for why we can't do it. It's time to come out of the stuff that you've been hiding in and surrender to God's will. Saul came out of the stuff. They found him, and they coronated him king. It's time for us to do the will of God in our lives. Stand with me for prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray, thank you for this week of revival, but it's not over. You still want to work in hearts and lives, and I believe that you're doing it, even this moment. I pray, Lord, that some will step out of the stuff that they've been hiding in, have been getting lost in, been concentrating on, thinking about, in order to keep themselves from thinking what you want them to do. I pray, oh God, that there would be surrender tonight to the will of God in our lives, in this place. If there's a person that's lost, save that soul. Help them to surrender to the will of God tonight to be saved. I pray for every Christian to surrender to what you're speaking to them about, and we believe you to do it in Jesus' name. Your heads are still bowed and eyes closed now. She begins to play softly. The altar is open. God is speaking to you about something, whatever it is. It may not be to be a pastor, but it might be. But there's something that he wants you to do. God's will for fathers, God's will for mothers, for children. What is it that's God's will and you've been hiding from it? Step out tonight. Oh, this is revival. This is where we let God speak to us. Will you let him speak right now in Jesus' name? Wonderful God, Almighty God, do the work only you can do.
Two or three weeks ago, Tyler Myers stood up in our pulpit. He gave us a testimony and a message on hard choices, tough choices. And he shared with us an example of a hard choice he had to make. And he knew what God's will was. And services like that and like this, sometimes we face a hard choice. Sometimes surrender is a hard choice. Sometimes coming out of the stuff is a hard choice. But he's right. Until we get in that position to do what we know is the will of God, there is no peace until we do that. I wonder if you would say, preacher, wasn't able to get to the altar tonight, but on the will of God, God is dealing with me about his will. I want to assure you, Pastor, that I am hearing God's voice regarding his will for my life. Would you raise your hand in this building? You're like that tonight. You would say, preacher, God is dealing with me about his will. Would you raise your hand? How many of you would say this? You would say, preacher, I am in a position where I do not know the will of God. Usually when Tom Albright prays for guidance. And you would say, preacher, I believe my heart is in the right place. I need God's direction in my life. I yearn to know the will of God for my life. Preacher, would you pray with me for God's direction in my life? Would you raise your hand in this building if you're like that? Preacher, I yearn to know God's will, but in my life right now, I don't have direction in some area of my life. There's somebody else who would raise their hand with that group right there. Preacher, please pray for me. I need to know God's leading in my life. Would you raise your hand with these others? A number of hands tonight who are seeking the will of God. Preacher, I need to know that. I want to know that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for, Lord, clear Bible preaching. And Lord, I'm thankful that the lessons we learned from Saul tonight, Lord, we know that you use the man of God, Samuel, to help Saul discern the will of God. And Lord, in a message like this, Lord, it is possible that you are helping someone even to know the will of God tonight for their lives, or throughout this week, you made known your will in some specific area. And Lord, I just pray for the courage and the priority and the attention for us to do the will that you've revealed to us. Lord, there are many tonight, Lord, who are seeking your direction. And Lord, some of those I knew about and I've been praying with, and others, Lord, I did not know. But Lord, would you make it known to them? Lord, I pray that there would be a driving desire, a zeal in their hearts to seek you with all their heart. And Lord, I pray that you will reveal your will. Lord, it may be as simple as witnessing to someone. And Lord, it may be going to a foreign mission field. But Lord, I pray that, Lord, these that have raised their hands tonight, yearning to know your will, Lord, would you make it known to them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Appreciate your attention to the Word of God tonight. And I want to remind all of us about the will of God. God shows his will in steps. Steps. So you may be looking at the will of God in your life as a big, what is the future? But really, you can be praying for the will of God every day. Lord, help order my steps that I'm doing the will of God today. And as I do the will of God today, you know what? God makes that other picture become clearer in our lives. Focus on what you know is the will of God right now and do that. And the things that are unknown and the things that are unclear, God in time will reveal it to somebody that's surrendered and interested in doing his will right now. And I want to encourage you with that tonight as many raise their hands about seeking God's direction. Mom and Dad, will you go to the back? I believe there's a couple of announcements tonight just to finish up. And I know it's been a busy week. I know everybody's running. And so I'm asking God just as a church to multiply your rest to you the rest of the week. Lord willing, we'll see you on Sunday. If you're going to the camp work day, make sure you sign up tonight, right?
I encourage you too, especially young people. God's working on you about something for his will. Be afraid to talk to mom and dad or talk to one of your pastors. Don't be afraid to step out. God's will. Some of them may be difficult decisions. Always rewarding to be in his will. Camp Workday is coming up on Saturday. Please do sign up for that if you're coming. We've got a plan. For the teen missions trip, teens going on the teen missions trip, Butte, Montana, there's no meeting this Sunday night. No meeting this Sunday night. We'll reschedule the meeting in the coming weeks. There is a teen activity on Friday night. If you're planning on going, tonight's your last chance to sign up. I know we've got a lot of sign-up sheets, but let me just emphasize, sign-up sheets communicate to us what we need to plan for, okay? We don't mean to inundate you with sign-up sheets, but they're very, very important, okay? The activity is weather-dependent. We're planning to have the activity. However, we will contact those who are signed up by Friday morning if we need to postpone the activity due to inclement weather. So please be aware of that. And then numbers of other things, but we'll go over these on Sunday. On Sunday, Miss Emily Hoxie will be in the foyer to sign folks up for the ladies' banquet coming up. You do need servers for that. You can sign up on the sign-up sheet. If you have any questions about serving, you can talk to me about that. And then please do check your printed announcement sheet you got in tonight's prayer bulletin. All right, any other last-minute announcements before we're dismissed? All right, Mark Waldemeyer, good to have you back. Would you please dismiss us in prayer?
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.